So, today we celebrate the Feast of Corpus Christi, the solemnity of the most holy body and blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. As the Second Vatican Council remind us, the Holy Eucharist and the Mass are the source and summit of our spiritual lives as Catholics. Here is the sacrament, truly, of God's love, intimately shared with us. In looking at this beautiful sacrament, I think over the years of how I've had the privilege of instructing converts, sometimes the question comes up, well, why do you Catholics believe this? Or even, how do you know it's real? Well, first reason is we believe this and we know it's real because Jesus taught this. When we look at our gospel passage today, Jesus has performed this miracle of the loaves and the fish. It's a miracle. This miracle, though, sets the stage for a long teaching we call the Bread of Life Discourse in John chapter 6. In that, Jesus teaches and he says, I am the living bread come down from heaven. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood will have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up on the last day. Those words set the stage then for another miracle, the greatest miracle, when our Lord at the Last Supper took bread and wine. He said, this is my body, this is my blood, with the same efficacious words by which he could multiply loaves and fish to feed really over 5,000, or raise Lazarus from the dead, or change water into wine, or cure a blind man, or the crippled man, or the woman with the hemorrhage. With those same efficacious words, Jesus is miraculously sharing his life, body, blood, soul, and divinity with his apostles. Consider, though, it's not just about the Last Supper. For the next day, on Good Friday, our Lord went to the cross. His body hung there as a sacrifice for our sins. His blood washed away our sins. But this wasn't just a death-rendering event. Rather, on Easter, Jesus rose gloriously from the dead. He has conquered sin, suffering, death, evil itself. Well, it's all wrapped up. That whole mystery is wrapped up in this great sacrament we call the Holy Eucharist. Now, with that in mind, this is what we've always believed and what has been handed on to us. Notice in our second passage, St. Paul's writing to the Corinthians. It's about the year 50 AD. And he says, I hand on to you what I received from the Lord. And he mentions again what Jesus did at the Last Supper. If we fast forwarded then 100 years, to St. Justin the Martyr, we read as follows. We call this food Eucharist, and no one else is permitted to partake of it except one who believes our teaching to be true and who has been washed in baptism and is thereby living as Christ enjoined. For not as common bread nor common drink do we receive these, but since Jesus Christ our Savior was made incarnate by the word of God, and had both flesh and blood for our salvation, so too we have been taught the food which has been made into the Eucharist by the Eucharistic prayer set down by him, and by the change of which our blood and flesh is nurtured, is both the flesh and blood of that incarnated Jesus. So St. Justin's trying to grasp this great mystery. Frankly, it just simply is put this way, that when we offer the Holy Mass, we're gathering here as a body of Christ to worship Almighty God. We're plunging ourselves into an ever-living, everlasting reality of our Lord's life, particularly Last Supper, Passion, Death, Resurrection. When the priest offers the sacrifice of the Mass, he is acting in the person of Christ by virtue of the Sacrament of Holy Orders, which conveys that authority that our Lord entrusted to his apostles. At the words of consecration, then, the priest speaks, but notice it shifts from third person to first, from past tense to present, because it's like Jesus is speaking those words now. At those words, bread is transubstantiated into the body of Christ, the wine transubstantiated into the blood of Christ. But both fully are the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus. Now, granted, when this consecration occurs, the physical characteristics like touch, taste, smell, shape, size, color do not change. But the what it is, the substance, changes. Hence, transubstantiation. We are not receiving blessed bread. We're receiving Christ. And after this Mass, we don't put the leftover communion back in the old bread box. We put the communion in the tabernacle with the reserved light, and we genuflect and we revere the real presence of Christ. This is what we've always believed. Now, granted, sadly, in the 1500s, the Protestant leaders denied this mystery. John Huss, Zwingli, Calvin, Luther, Edward VI, Elizabeth I, and so on, all denied the Holy Eucharist as the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ, denied transubstantiation, denied the Mass, denied the sacrificial priesthood. And that broke a communion in the church, which hopefully one day will be healed. But nevertheless, this is what we believe. Take it a step further to help us. So poor little human beings that we are, bound by time and space, with all our senses and so on, our Lord has helped us to believe by allowing what we call Eucharistic miracles to take place. One of the first great ones is the miracle at Lanciano, Italy, a little town right on the Adriatic coast. So going back to about the year 700, a monk in the monastery of St. Longinus was offering Mass. And he was having doubts. He was wondering, when I say these words, does it really happen? Does this bread and wine really change? So he prayed. He prayed for faith. Well, one day when he was saying Mass, and he said the words of consecration, that bread became actual flesh, and that wine actually became blood. Well, he was aghast. All the monks were aghast. I would have fainted. And so here you have this miracle, and it was preserved and sealed in reliquaries to this very day. But in 1971, Pope Paul VI, and in 1981, Pope John Paul II allowed scientific studies using modern-day medical technology. So they looked at this dried flesh, and they found that it had the properties of fresh human flesh. Also, that it was a cut from the heart muscle, the myocardium. How beautiful when we think of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. The pathologists also said only a trained pathologist using modern-day instruments could have made such a cut. It couldn't have occurred back then. And then also they looked at the blood, and they found it, even though it was dried, to have the properties of fresh human blood, type AB, which really isn't common for us, but it is for Jewish people. Also, it matched the blood of the Shroud of Turin and the blood of the sudarium, this covering on our Lord's head when he was taken down from the cross. So a miracle. And we have other miracles. Even in 1996, a similar miracle occurred in Buenos Aires. So go to the internet. You can find these things out. But our Lord has allowed this to happen to help us believe. But then there's another proof over all these centuries. And it's a proof from evil. Today, throughout our country, I dare say the world, there will be devil worshippers who attend Mass, and they will pretend to receive communion, but they'll really steal a host. And they take that host, and tonight at dark, they will offer what they call their black Mass, a mockery of what we do here. And they will desecrate that host. Why is it a devil worshiper would do such thing if it weren't true? Here, Satan says it's true. We ought to believe this is true also. And during times of persecution, the Roman Empire persecution, the French Revolution, recent times, Nazism, communism, ISIS, what do? They close the churches, they stop the Mass, they execute the priests, because if you can destroy the Eucharist, destroy the Mass, destroy the priesthood, you destroy the church. For example, I think one of the problems we face in our world, in our church today, with the recent scandals, is what has been seeds of evil that were planted long ago. Archbishop Sheen spoke about this, wrote about it. Also, Dr. Alice von Hildebrand, great philosopher. Back in the 40s and 50s, that evil communist leader, Joseph Stalin, knew that the greatest obstacle to his spread of communism and the Soviet Union power was the Catholic Church. So how do you cripple the church? Go inside. He couldn't do it from the out. So, in our own country, in communist parties, and they just celebrated their 100th anniversary in America, communist parties recruited dedicated communists and also deviant communists, morally speaking, to pretend to enter the seminary. This one woman, Bella Dodd, who was a registered communist, tells, and she told this to Bishop Sheen, that she was instrumental in placing 1,100 such candidates in the seminary. Well, these candidates got ordained, and then maybe some of them became bishops, even cardinals. No wonder. Think about it. What we face today, it's like the devil entered the heart of Judas. The devil's entered the heart of some of those who should have been serving in the person of Christ. So what we need to do is remain steadfast and faithful, loving the Blessed Sacrament. Yes, purging out the evil, being strong against the evil. At this Mass, though, we need to pray for an increase of our faith, to truly believe, to adore, to revere the Eucharist, the Mass, for what it is, and to pray for good priests. May God bless you.